fans in the house. Brilliant. Well, let me set the scene. We're just over at Gray's place for a barbecue. And thanks for stopping by, everybody. You can feed later, but Gray's just going to cook us up something. So got a few guys. And the reason, of course, is because women connect face-to-face, but men do side-by-side. And, you know, we want to catch up with a guy. One of the great things you can do is to, like, head out and go fishing or shooting, you know, or playing golf, or even out in the bush and looking out at the mountains, or down by the beach looking out at the waves. And that's why guys will even go to the bar and stand at the bar, you know, looking around, because we don't really kind of go out, you know, do you want to do coffee and share? Said no guy ever. So we find a way to do it. So barbecues are a great place if you want to see that happening. So I just thought I'd invite you all over to Pastor Gray's place today. He's on the barbecue, and meet a couple of the guys that are coming out. So quick 30-second elevator pitch, because I don't think you guys have met this guy before. His name's Clarky, or Simon. So quick elevator pitch. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you do?
G'day, gentlemen. I'm Simon Clarky. Clark, really.
Hey, Clarky.
We'll go with Clarky. Nice to meet you guys. I'm going to try and stick to 30 seconds, not like the...
You're not even close. Late. You're like 20 minutes last time.
20 minutes. All right.
Your life is not that exciting.
So just quickly. I've been a Christian for most of my life, raised in a Christian family. I'm a husband also of 20 years to my beautiful yet cheeky wife, Karen, down the front. I have three fantastic children. I have Matthew, who's in our service this morning, which is great. I'll try not to talk about you too much today, mate. Jaslyn and Jaden, 9 and 5. I'm also a serving the house. I'm a wingman leader. If you don't know what that is, then man up and come along, men. I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
City Point kids leader. I love helping with the kids. They're awesome. Keep sending them in. I love it. It's great. I'm also, some of you will be really happy about this. Some of you may be a bit upset. I'm a Blue supporter. So thank you for the blue lighting. Wow, tough crowd. I'm also, I really enjoy spending time with my family and socialising. I actually do enjoy doing this. So thank you, Graf, for having us over, mate. I also am an illustrator. I enjoy camping, paddleboarding, walks on the beach, playing tennis, and occasionally being
Pilates and yoga.
You can tell by this figure I do Pilates for sure. And I really enjoy occasionally getting to drive my wife's car. I am actually, my background is in graphic design, so I'm a bit of a creative kind of person, but I currently work in sales for the last few years selling paper. Guys, get on it. It is good. It's a great way to communicate. Write a letter to someone, print something. It's great for the environment. Talk to me later. So that's me, guys. I'll hand over.
That's awesome. And Lucien, come on, fill us in.
Married, 3 kids, own a business, 5'10", 104 kilos. Very good looking. Left eye twitch.
That's too much.
No?
You're sharing too much.
All right. Involved in church, and we get the opportunity of serving the young families of this church, which is fantastic. We've got some great young families. So I'm married to a social butterfly who keeps me on my toes and out of my box, and helps me to connect, because I generally, as most men, we don't connect very well. Unless there is sport involved, or someone's going to get hurt, or there's petrol of some sort. So, you know, which usually means someone's going to get hurt. So, we have a fun time at church. We've got 3 great kids, and my beautiful wife, she just keeps everyone under control, which is fantastic.
So good. Stu.
Yeah, my name's Stu. Oh, well, the proper pronunciation is Stu, but I won't judge you. it's still happily married being with my wife for 25 years. We have 2 young adult kids. We are happily to be in Australia. We've been in Australia for 7 years. So and also just we found church when we first arrived there. We just got in the car, got dressed, and just drove around, saw a sign, City Point, hopped in there, and just haven't left. So it's we are also now serving in the youth. So how many youth we got in there? Yeah, so it's amazing. We're leading the youth. Well, me and my wife and my kids are 21, and that's my son, and my daughter's 19. So, just loving leading the next generation for what's to come. And, excited. Really excited.
That's so cool. So a couple of questions I was thinking about, you know, because of the whole Father's Day thing. So glad you guys come to the barbecue. But I was just wondering, do you see God as a father? And how does this influence your daily walk? You know, what do you think about that? Do you see God as a father, man? Or
look, yeah, I certainly do see God as a father. And look, I've been blessed enough to grow up in a family where I had a father who is a Christian. I was going to say was. He is. He's still kicking. So I better ring him after and wish him Happy Father's Day, by the way. But yeah,
he's just send him a text.
Send him a text. Yeah. Ouch. Ouch. I've sent paper, card, guys, envelope. So, yeah, look, my father's been a great influence. So that's helped me understand what our Heavenly Father's like. And it says that, you know, God loves us more than we can ever comprehend. And, you know, reading it, working in City Kids, I get to go through some of the simpler verses that we all pretty know quite well. So John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world so much that he gave his only son. And it's understanding how much God loves us. More than what our own fathers can love us. And the fact that he sent his own son, and look, my son Matthew is here this morning, about to embarrass him. I love him so much, and if someone said sacrifice him, I couldn't, mate. I love you. I love you to death, mate. And so...
Yeah, that's what happens if you love him to death.
Possibly that's what God was thinking. I don't know. But look, on a more serious note, if God can sacrifice his one and only son, who is perfect... And I'm not prepared to do it for someone who is not quite perfect. No offence, I do think you are, mate. But we all know we're human, so we're born with sin. And I'm not prepared to give him up. How much does our Heavenly Father love us? So that just gives me so much confidence. No matter what I'm going through day to day, on my way to work, what I'm going through, I know God's there and he'll never abandon me. And I just... That blows my mind still today, even you know, thinking about coming to the barbecue and discussing deep... stuff with the fellas here who are pretty manly. It's pretty intimidating. I think it's pretty important to understand how much our Heavenly Father's there for us and will never leave us. So, yeah.
What about you, Lucy? And do you see God as a father? Because you got a little bit of a different background. Hey, so
good stuff, bro. Nearly cried. I nearly cried.
I didn't. He's and that a Blues supporter.
It doesn't take much for me to cry, if you know me. Listen, I absolutely, same as you, Simon. I see God as the ultimate father. He's so gracious and loving, kind, generous. He knows all the answers. We just need to ask him, right? And he's Mr. Fix-It. And like any good father, you know, when your child comes to you and you want something fixed, you know, you put aside everything and you fix it for them. You know, but, you know, growing up in an Eastern European family, you're a bit Leb, aren't you?
A little bit.
No, okay.
It's not true.
It's not true, no. growing up in an Eastern European family, I mean, my father, it was like growing up in the Von Trapp tobaccaroo family. And, you know, we were also taught that God is also king and sovereign and mighty and he's ruler of all. And so I guess the best way for me to explain it to you, Stu and Clarkie, is that, you know, it's like the prince when he comes into the king's presence. He comes in with full reverence, with respect. He comes in bowing and he gets on his knees. And there's a little bit of fear there as well because his father is so great. But, you know, he also comes with total awe and love and adoration, admiration for his father as well. And like any father, I mean, the king looks down and he goes, this is my son. This is my daughter, you know, when they come into his presence. And there's nothing that the king wouldn't do for his children, in fact. He would get off his kingdom, come down to the earth and, you know, die for his own children, sacrifice his life. And, you know, John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that they would lay down their life. And that's just my perception of Father God as being the ultimate.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Hey, Stu, how do you balance, you know, being a father in a crazy busy world, man? Because you're like working full time, you got a wife, that takes up a lot of our time, you know, just... trying to do that thing, that whole wife thing, and then you got two kids, and how do you balance it all?
Yeah, no, it is crazy. It's crazy to live a life where I've got to go to work to pay for everything and to put food on the table, and I work about 12 hours a day. on the job. I drive trucks, obviously, if you didn't know that. So it's long hours. It takes a lot of my time. It takes a lot of our ministry time as well. It takes a lot of time of running a family. So everything is based around my hours of work, Frida's hours of work. And it's if I could replace the word balance, I'll replace it with time. And time is so important nowadays that we hardly get to spend time with family because it's so rushed. We're so busy around other people's lives that we want to help everyone else, but we seem to forget our own. And it's and I think balance may be the wrong thing to aim for. It kind of implies that everything is going to fit, but it doesn't fit. It doesn't work together. And it's because it's always moving parts. Schedule always changing. Things always popping up, and what we do, especially when we come youth ministry, it's really important that we focus in the next generation that's coming up, and it's important that we bring up new leaders to run the next generation of church, and not just church, but also going to the schools and spreading the word of love and who is God in the schools, and to go into the communities to equip me, because when we equip our youth, we equip the nation.
Yeah,
and it's important to equip our youth to understand who they find themselves in God. And the balance, I'll place it with time. Time is very important when it comes to spending time with family and spending time with God, spending time with the Word, and spending time in His presence, just having your alone time with God, because I value that a lot. And time is very of the essence, and we're running out of time because Jesus is coming soon. So let's get everyone to the churches. Let's get everyone saved, because it's really important that the power of the Holy Spirit is doing something, and let's ride with it.
Yeah, that's Amen. Good, man. What about you, Simon? How do you balance being a dad in such a busy world?
Well, look, I think Stu, balance that. Am I saying that? No, I'm still not right. I'm just going to say, hey, bro. Basically, he summed it up. It's all about time. And I know for Karen and I, both of us work. And I know many of you out there, both of you are working. Some of you might be single parents and you're working. And trying to get that balance of doing your job well and spending time with the kids can be quite hard. So there's some easy things. And look, I'd love to sit here and say I'm an awesome dad and this is all my idea, but my wife is actually here in this service, so I have to be careful how I say this. So essentially, we both believe it's so important that we eat together as a family.
Yeah.
Sit at a dinner table. That is so important to us, praying before for the meal, blessing the meal, and just sitting down, sharing together in fellowship, which is a biblical thing. If you guys are like all of us here, we try and read the Bible and we'd see that fellowship together is so important. So I think that's number one. Number two, I get to drive the kids to school. I didn't mention this in the earlier service, but that's so important to me. That's 16 minutes that I get to share with my kids and impart with them. And yes, Maddie's going to laugh and he'll say, my dad actually does karaoke in the car. But it's showing that we have fun together. We share stuff, and yes, Dad can be silly, but if I've got something I want to discuss together as a family, there's an opportunity. The most important time, believe it or not, is when we take each of the kids to bed. They're all different ages, so the good thing is Jaden goes first. He gets a bit of time with either Mum or Dad, so we have a bit of a roster in our household, and Karen and I will alternate between the two, but we'll ask the kids about their day, and we'll pray whatever's on their mind for the following day, and help them have a good night's sleep. And we also pray about important things that my parents taught me, Rick, was that you've got to start praying about the future. So for your kids, we actually pray for their future partners, you know, for my boys, for their wives, for my daughter, for a future husband, for their careers, what influence they're going to have, how they can be a better person, because God's ready to use them. Karen and I have only got them for a short time, and we want to raise them in the ways of the Lord. So it's very important to us that we can impart what we think is right to the age where they get to make their decision. And so for us, yeah, time is the most crucial thing. If you can input and input well, yeah.
Have you thought of who she's going to marry yet? Like a bit
I've noticed for Matthew, I've started picking out a few lovely Christian ladies.
Yeah. The they might be here today.
If you've got seven camels and 10 goats, come and see me after the service.
We'll be taking applications. Yeah, very cool. Hey,
Hey, Lucien, now you've got the youngest group of kids and you're also looking after young families, which is really, really cool. So I want to ask you directly, what's important to you to sow into your young family so they're nice and young? What's really important to you?
Well, you've got to start early. I mean, with kids, my wife's a school teacher, and any school teacher or any mother will actually tell you, because obviously the mothers are generally the ones that spend the most amount of time with the kids. They're such young sponges. They pick up on everything and they, you know, and so you start young. And so for us, it's really teaching them the Word of God, but also teaching them the ways of God, which sort of ties in, right? And Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 says, "And these words which I command to you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And, you know, Moses instructed the Israelites to obey, to keep God's commandments and to teach it to the children. And so for Jay and I, it's equally responsible that, you know, we are teaching the Word of God and the ways of God to our children. You know, unless you and I as parents know the Word of God, it's our responsibility to know. Unless we know the Word and the ways of God, then it's virtually impossible for our children to know it also. You know, for the one day that they get on Sunday, it's virtually impossible. So it's our responsibility. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The righteous man walks in integrity. His children are blessed after him." And, you know, our children are a mirror of who we are, of our personalities and our priorities. And so if we walk in the ways of God and we talk about God and we pray in front of our kids, and then our kids will mirror that. They're a mirror of our walk with God, or sometimes the lack of, right? How great would it be if the people of the church or the people of the community, they come around and they see your kid Simon or Stu and mine, Rick, your children, and they say, wow, in their language, in their speech, in their actions, they just reverberate the heart of God. How awesome would it be? It would be a testament to yourself. And, you know, Paul writes about this, about Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1:5, he says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith." Now, I'll say that again. "I am reminded of your sincere faith," talking about Timothy, "which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also." How awesome is that? There is a generation, and then another generation, and then a third generation of God's word and God's power and love and mercy being instilled in that family. And, you know, for most of us here today, like our families, you know, some of us have got a bit of a heritage, but then there's other families where it starts with you. You have that responsibility, and it's exciting that you can take on that challenge, to take on the Word of God and the ways of God and to develop that in your family. And, you know, some simple things that we do, like you, Simon, and, you know, is we sit around the table and we talk, we do devotions, and we teach our kids about, you know, the ways of God, and we talk to them about, you know, God's way is the best way, no stinking thinking, be loving and kind to others, this is a big one, the Bible is better than Xbox. Yeah, it's a tough one to get across to a six-year-old, and God is healer, provider, and, you know, and Jay and I, we really try to sit them down and talk to them and give them example, real examples that they would understand and what they can use in their own life. And, you know, not because we want to drum into them, you got to go to church, you got to read, you got to pray. You know, we do this so they could know the Word and the truth of God and grow in maturity. And then when they're out of our hands, like Simon says, you know, and Stu, you're in that moment. When your children leave your house, you want them to have that godly word and maturity in their lives already established, yeah, so that they can go forward and be blessed and fruitful like we are.
Yeah, so good, hey. Just don't bite your brother. Don't eat yellow snow. These are very important things. Hey, Stu, you're on the other end of the spectrum with this whole thing. You're like, your kids are growing now. Like, they only just use you for a board and food.
Every day.
That's not true. That's not true. But what's changed as the kids have grown up from, you know, being so young in the house to now being young adults in the house?
yeah, what's changed? A lot's changed. Attitudes changed. Their characters changed as well. It's like Lucien said, how we train our children up, how we bring them up. Like I'm the same as well. We at the dinner table, there's no phones, there's no TV on. We just have a conversation about things, about life, about the Bible, about what's happening, what's new happening, what's coming up in youth and all that. So it's amazing what's happening in their lives as well to hear that from them. But we also like to speak life into them, to encourage them that and it can be hard. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's hard from a transition from a kid to a youth, and then transitioning to a youth. To a young adult.
Yeah.
And but me and Frieda have also had to learn to change with them, to adapt to where they're at the moment, how society is changing, how culture is changing as well, and what they see on their phones and what they see on TV, that matters a lot to when me and Frieda, because we would like to put a lot of input to what they're hearing and what's going on in their lives. Yeah. I can remember many years ago, my daughter, when we first started serving, hey, you got a burger. Why'd you get a burger?
I don't know, man. I just got to think about
how I just
I'm
saw your burger. Stop
it.
Talking.
What the heck is that? Did your wife tell you to put that? What? Like, it looks like salad,
that's
man.
It's like lettuce, man.
Yeah.
Look like hey, carne.
Great, medium rare.
Let us keep going.
Medium rare, thanks.
Go, sorry, Stu, go, man. Come on. Share your heart, bro.
Where I was. The burgers
talking about Jesus.
Yeah, back to Jesus. Being involved early on in their life from the transition we're talking about, and understanding the life that they go through as part of a young adult, and it's important to have young adult groups, life groups, because who knows that when you graduate from youth, there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
But thank God that we do have a young adults life group that we do have to, that can transition to, and to also speak life and to speak positive messages into these kids, because we need the young adults to lift up our youth up, to help them run a great life of living, because it's really hard out there. It gets really lonely, gets really vulnerable with our youth. And speaking of my kids, I can remember when we first arrived in this church, we started serving, obviously, and then my son started serving as well, and I remember my daughter, she was very shy. She didn't want to be a part of anything that she didn't want to talk to anyone. But we started hosting in the team, so we were happy to do that. Tyrone, he followed us along. He'll follow wherever the mother goes. so he's a bit of a mummy's boy there, and yeah, hands up for the mummy boys. but it's amazing because with all the prayers and what we're doing, because what will happen is like at before service, you'll sit in the car while we're doing all the hosting stuff. When as soon as the music starts, she's in the church. When the music finishes, she's out in the car again. She didn't want to know anything. She didn't want to be a part of the hosting. She didn't want to do anything. She just didn't want to serve. She just want to be by herself. I think we just prayed. We just prayed a lot with faith that God will deliver our girl through the times that she's been vulnerable. And we got to be there for our kids at all times. Doesn't matter if it's what time of the night or what time of the day is. We just got to be there for our kids. And it's about understanding where they're at. Remember, our Father is a compassionate Father. We got to be compassionate too. And we be patient as well, how we bring our kids up and how we see them. So the Proverbs, like Pastor Rick already talked about it, and the baby dedication for Reuben was Proverbs 22:6. We train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, they will not turn from it. And the Bible says he will not turn from it. Maybe not turn from it. He said, will not turn from it. So we God's already declared it. He's already said it. So if he's said that our kids will not turn from it, we got to stand in the gap and pray for our kids at the same time. So I 4 years later, 2 years later, right now, my daughter is now serving in youth, and she's serving and the kids club next door. So it's amazing what God can do. I think to all the parents, if I can encourage you, keep praying, keep turning up, keep understanding that God is for you, He's with you, and He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So it's important that Jeremiah 29:11, that God so loved the world, He knows your plans. He has a hope for you, that you just got to trust the process that you're in right now. You might be going through a storm, but He always meets you in the middle and He'll pick you up like He picked up Peter. Yeah, and it's so amazing good. That he'll take you in the wilderness, but you always come out stronger for it.
Yeah.
Amen.
So good, man. I love that. And Simon, your kids are kind of in the middle. And so I'm just kind of thinking, what values are you looking to see in your family? And how do you develop them in that age?
Yeah, look, that's a tough question. My kids are kind of in the middle, but they are quite broad. So I've got one heading into the youth kind of age, and Stu already gets the pleasure of dealing with him occasionally. And I've got a beautiful daughter who's 9, and my youngest is 5, who I'm sure most of you probably know, because I think he introduced half of us to you. So thank you, Jaden. But essentially, for Karen and I, the values are pretty important. For us, We want to create a legacy for, you know, we want to be known as that family that serves the Lord. And and we want our kids to be raised in a home that understands and knows the Lord. And we want to prepare them for life. So simple things like the Ten Commandments, hopefully we all know it here. If we don't, sure, come see me afterwards and I'll try and get them in order for you. But essentially, they're great rules that kids can learn, and it teaches them the basics and the law, but it's trying to get them to understand the heart of why we live this way and why the Lord has instructed us to live this way. And so trying to develop the values. How's that burger, by the way, Rick? Is that, don't answer because your mouth's full. Look, for me, the most important thing is just encouraging the kids to learn what it's like to serve in the house, how we put the Lord first. What it means to grow up and be a Christian young man, particularly for my eldest. My young man will follow suit. And for my daughter, how to grow up and be a Christian lady. For me, one of the greatest things is, and I hope not to embarrass my son here today, but it's great when you try and impart something to your children and they learn something. And it's great to see my eldest this year, 3 times, in fact. I don't wish to embarrass him too much. Made a decision to follow Christ, and to me that's actually, I'm not sure if he knows this, but he's going to find out this morning. I was going to say this evening because it's so dark in here. But essentially, it's one of my proudest moments seeing your son grow up, and he's made a decision. I made a decision that, and Karen and I both made this decision that we would raise him, and it was great to see Chris and Rachel dedicating young Reuben. And I remember doing that with Matthew. I remember doing that with Jasmine and Jaden. But there is something so awesome about seeing your child. And I didn't get to see him put his hand up. I got to see fellow people in the congregation came up and told me afterwards, are you aware your son put his hand up? And I'm like, that is so awesome. And he's done it 3 times. And I just love, mate, that you're heading on the right path. And, mate, it's a hard path ahead. And mate, that the fact that you've made that decision has made me a very proud father. And I know Karen's very proud too. So for me, it's just about giving the kids the tools to learn the values and them to grow up and be equipped to be that well-rounded Christian adult when they're older. Yeah.
That's so good. I was thinking, Lucien, what does it mean to be a man of God? Like, to you, what do you reckon that means to you?
I thought about that when, you know, it's Clark, you and Stu were talking, and you know, and now you've pretty much thrown the question, what does it mean to be a man of God? And you could answer in so many ways, because God was everything to everyone.
Yeah.
And I think the things that stand out to me would be to live with integrity and to care for your family. And, you know, we live in a world where it's sometimes the narrow path to live with integrity or to care for your family. It goes against the social grain that we live in, you know, and sometimes it goes against family culture. You know, most people won't understand some of the decisions that you make, but, you know, most of those people won't be there when you need them the most either. In Matthew 16:26, it says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? So, you know, what does it profit a man if he's a successful business but a broken marriage? Or has a big business portfolio, but no relationship with his children.
Yeah, wow.
has a huge ministry, but a stranger to his own family. But really, more personally, what if that person is everything to everyone and seemingly has it all together, yet deep down inside they are broken and living with depression? You know, God blesses and honours those who care for their family. And because family is important to God. He established family. He calls us his sons and daughters. We are heirs to Christ, meaning that we are direct children of God, right? You know, so I know firsthand, and I see it in my own life, that on a daily basis, God has taken care of me. God has looked after me. God has sacrificed all to have that relationship with me. And so in thinking about that, I sort of think, one, I need to live in integrity. Two, I need to care for my family. But lastly, I need to sacrifice myself for my children, for my family, for them to know the heart of God, for them to walk and know the ways of God as well. And just lastly, I think Matthew 22:37 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And then it says, love your neighbour as yourself. So to me, it ties in pretty much both. They're the greatest commandments that God has given us, to love God and to love others, and others being everyone, your church family, your own family, the kid that doesn't have a father that's coming to youth. We've got youth camp coming up. How many kids, Stu, have we got that don't have fathers, that don't have mothers, that don't have an opportunity? We've got so many, hey, Stu? How many?
We've got quite a few kids who just don't, are really vulnerable to not having a father.
Yeah,
and
wow.
It's so rife in the community right now, and it's amazing how our kids keep turning up to youth, which is the best thing.
Yeah. Mm.
I think it's cool how, I don't have a dad. Why is my dad not here? Or why my dad left me? And it's a question that comes up every time on Friday nights, and it it brings me to tears, and it brings my youth leaders to tears because they don't have an answer. Mm. The only answer they do have is just go through the Bible, and the power of prayer is so vigilant that we got to pray. Pray for our kids, pray for the next generation, because it's hard. It's hard to bring up the next generation when they don't know who their father is, but our Heavenly Father is always there for them. We pray, and then the best part about the youth is they invite other kids who don't have fathers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. And it's awesome. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. Like, I mean,
a whole bunch of preachers here, man.
Exactly. We're all biting at the bit.
They've done pretty well.
You know, like this being their Father's Day, you know, love the Lord your God, know his word, know his way. Yeah. Love the Lord your God, but then love each other and love your family and take care of your family, yeah?
Awesome.
And I'm going to put my two cents in, guys, if you don't mind. That's awesome.
We need somebody from New South Wales to represent.
So someone from New South Wales is going to bring it home. I love it. Like we did just recently. No, so guys, in all seriousness, I try to look at this question when Pastor Rick may have accidentally given it to us earlier. Some of you may realise this is not impromptu. What is a man of God to me? And I thought about this, and I'm trying to correlate it into, you know, obviously Father's Day. So I'm putting it in a Father's Day setting. So I believe a man of God is a man who represents love and follows the Lord no matter what.
Yeah.
He has faith. I don't believe he's perfect. Okay, he's not a man without sin. If we look throughout the Bible, you've got Moses who killed a dude or two. We've got David who had an interesting life, to say the least. I could probably list 20 things he probably did wrong. We've got so many interesting characters, and I consider these guys to be absolutely awesome. Now, I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm pretty sure I haven't killed anyone, not that I'm aware of or have been convicted of yet. But these guys are great men, and I just want to encourage you guys that if you guys are parents, I'm talking to the men, I'm talking to everyone in the household here, we're all leaders. Whether you've got one child or whether you've got many, you've got something to input, and that child looks up to you, and no matter what you say and your actions, give a real powerful reflection of who God is in your life. So I believe a man of God is someone who tries to mirror who God he actually is. I'm going to quickly read a Bible verse because this one was really important to me just to sum up today. And it's about keep asking, seeking and knocking. And it's, again, for fathers. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, our Father's perfect, remember, give good things to those who ask him? Whatever you want men to do, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Okay, law of the prophets. So this, I think, just sums up how we should be acting, guys. Remember how to treat others and be a true reflection, as Lucian mentioned earlier, of who our Father is, because that's ultimately, we've been made in his image, and that's what we're trying to raise our kids and ourselves, and it's all a journey, no matter what stage of life we're in, to try and be that reflection of God our Father.
Yeah. So good. Can we give it up for these guys? Thanks, guys. And for Pastor Gray inviting us over for the barbecue. That's been so good. And see that? I nearly got through that burger. That's commitment, people. You know what's interesting for me is I love listening to their story and just kind of a cross-section of the church. I grew up without a dad. And, you know, before you feel sorry for me, I didn't really care because I didn't have a dad. I didn't miss a dad, you know. But there's a couple of things. So I didn't have a good dad to kind of model God off at all, you know, kind of like, wow, my dad was so cool. That's how God is. But I didn't have a terrible dad to kind of go, wow, my dad is so bad. God's the opposite. How good is God? I had no dad. So I kind of had no relationship with God in that kind of a context. And to be perfectly honest, for a long time my Christian walk, I wasn't really worried. And I'll never forget, Jen and I came back up from the Gold Coast and I was in my 30s, I think mid, late 30s even, hey. And for some reason, I had to do a message. I think it might have been a Father's Day message at you know, big church. And I had to talk on the Father heart of God. And I'd never seen God like as a father. So, you know, I did what everybody does in that stage. I Googled Father heart of God verses. Points for Father heart of God verses, you know. And it's like, man, I got to have something to say here. And I was praying about it and trying to wrestle with this whole concept of God as a father, God as a father. And in that minute, I really felt God speak to me so directly into my heart and into my soul. And this is what he said. He said, Rick, if you don't ever see me as a father, you can never come to me as a son. And it was a real defining moment in my life when I recognized that there was something significantly missing in my world. That I didn't need to see God, and I didn't see God as a religious dude. I didn't see him as a better way of life. I saw him as a king. I saw him as a Lord of Lords. I saw him even as a friend at times, and sometimes, you know, relating through Jesus as a brother. But he wanted to be my father. He wanted me to be his son. And so I began this journey and this unpacking it. And so you maybe you're here today in that same kind of place and space, where you don't really identify God so much as a father, for maybe because yours was bad and you just can't even get that image out of your head. But the struggle then is that you can't come to him as a daughter if you don't see him as a dad, or if that picture is wrong in your head. And so on this Father's Day, can I remind you of your Heavenly Father? When Jesus was teaching the disciples to pray, he said, don't pray this prayer, but pray after this manner. And we all know the prayer because we're stupid enough to pray it when we shouldn't. We pray after this manner. And the very first thing it starts with is, Our Father. Because Jesus says, I want you to come to him as a son or a daughter would a father. I don't want you to come to him as the boss. I don't want you to come to him even as Lord of all. I want your approach to be that you're my dad, that you love me, that you accept me, whether I'm being good or naughty, you're still my dad. Whether I'm on track or off the rails, you're still my dad. And I come to you in that posture. You're my dad. So here in this place, as we close our eyes and bow our heads, maybe you need to reconcile with God, your father. Can you say, hey, Daddy God, I'm so glad I'm your son. Hey, Daddy God, I'm so glad I'm your daughter. And I know that you love me. And if not, then this is the moment on Father's Day. Imagine that. On Father's Day, you make that peace with God. Say, Father God, help reveal yourself to me as a father. I don't want to just see you as a God far away, as a dictator, as a Lord only, as a religious belief, as somebody to go to when I'm in trouble. I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. Help give me that clear picture right now. Time to restore that relationship. Holy Spirit, do your work. Maybe in this place this morning, you've been away from God.